Today, I want to alert you to a very real struggle, which I'm going to call the silent war for your soul. You see, the Bible tells us that the devil is waging a war against your devotion to Jesus, that is, of the greatest danger to your soul, and yet you won't read about it in the media or hear about it alongside what we're told of COVID. The danger that you're facing is that the devil wants to kill your faith in Jesus. That is his highest aim in this year. And that is something for which he is a formidable enemy. He doesn't want any publicity, but just to keep plying his trade. Through tiny incremental steps, he will patiently sow seeds of unbelief and let them overtake the good fruit. Just look around your life and your relationships, and you will realize, if you're a Christian, the casualties that are there and are many and varied, from the professional Christians who have once served the gospel wholeheartedly to others that we look up to, fellow disciples who once took up their cross and followed, but now are no longer in that number. I want to draw your attention to this war because I believe that it's a war that also rages for your soul and for mine. And so today, I want you to see how this war is fought against the believer and how the Bible says that we can equip ourselves so that we don't find ourselves also wounded or worse still among the fatalities. So please listen very carefully as we begin. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 1 says, "We must pay careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard so that we do not drift away." Notice the phrase there, drift away. The devil does not usually engage in face-to-face combat in broad daylight. That is the stuff of the horror movies. He loves the fact, I imagine, that these films keep so many people from understanding the true facts. Instead, he longs for you to drift. He doesn't usually work in such a way that we will walk away from Jesus in a day. Rather, he wants you to drift. And he's prepared to work over a long time to achieve that. Experts in air navigation have a rule of thumb known as the 1 in 60 rule. It states that for every 1 degree a plane veers off its course, it misses its target destination by 1 mile for every 60 miles that is flown. That means that the further you travel, the further you are from your destination. The usual way that the devil works is for a keen believer to make an error where they consciously or otherwise deviate from the Lord, from his word, and then end up missing their target by a mile. That they miss the warning signs. They don't heed the opportunities that there were to turn back. Have you ever been in a dinghy or on a paddleboard that has drifted without you noticing? Or when you've been swimming in the sea, you've drifted without noticing. This is the usual way that the Christian ends up in a different place and losing their relationship with Jesus. I don't think that everything that has come out of the pandemic has been bad for churches. I wouldn't be one of those people that would think of it like that. Some good things have come out of it. But I do think that it has caused what the pandemic has done in a roundabout way has caused many people to drift. The answer to drifting is to pay careful attention to what we've heard. Hebrews reminds us that God is a speaking God. Chapter 1 and verse 1 at the start of Hebrews says this: "In the past God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things." Verse 3 of chapter 1 says that he has been sustaining all things by his powerful word. So God is a speaking God. We need to listen. This is the kind of care that you take when you cross the road. You're careful every time you cross the road. We need to be careful to listen to and to put into practice the things that we hear from God's powerful word. Or the care that we have when we build something out of a valuable material. The old saying says that we must measure twice and cut once. We need to be careful that we listen to what we've heard. Put what we've heard into practice. The salvation we've received is the most precious thing that we have. Are you someone who pays a careful attention to what you've been taught and who understands the dangers of drifting? Or are you with the countless number of Christians that experience goes on to show were careless while a battle was raging?
1 Peter 5, chapter 8 says, "Be alert and sober-minded. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour."
So to address this, we're going to look in quick fire at quick fire exhortations to fight back against this silent war. All from Hebrews. Number one. "Therefore, since the promise of God's rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you have been found to fall short of it." That's chapter 4, verse 1. And repeated again in verse 11 of chapter 4. "Be careful that you don't win heaven and then miss out by returning to the world and its ways, its beliefs, its passions." You've heard the phrase "pipped at the post" or "pipped to the post." A place on the sporting podium can be missed by tiny fractions. Tiny fractions can finish a career. I want to suggest to you that the same could be true in spiritual terms. Not because salvation is difficult. Christ can save anyone and will save anyone who comes to him, and he will keep them going. But because we fail to keep going ourselves, not heeding the warnings in Scripture. That's why I want to speak to us about this at the start of the year, and I've chosen these Bible readings and this theme. Secondly, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. We need to hold firmly to it. It's not something that we can release our grip on and become complacent about. I told you they're going to be quick fire. Number three, there's so many helpful exhortations like this in Hebrews. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. So we must thrill ourselves with grace. Remind ourselves that through Christ we receive not what we deserve, but what God has freely given to us, and go after it, rejoicing in it. Number four, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity. That's Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. So we don't move on from the message of salvation. That's the first teaching that we receive when we become believers. We're meant to keep hold of that, but we're to grow in our knowledge of it. When a soldier never moves on from the understanding they received in basic training, that's a very sad thing. They need to grow in their understanding. We need to have a plan to grow as Christian soldiers. So I would suggest to you to make some solid commitments to grow this year. Ask yourself now, how am I going to expand the knowledge of my faith this year? What is my plan to be taken forward to maturity? Fifthly, let us draw near to God. Hebrews 10:22. The verse says that we do this with a sincere heart, deciding to seek God as the most valuable thing we can do this year. It's the sign of a good relationship when a spouse decides to make time to spend time with their other half. So we should have times when we confess our sins in private with Jesus and warm our hearts at the fireside of his love again. It's about resolving to let Jesus become a closer and more intimate friend. So resolve to do that this year. Perhaps you could return to this old friend, which is the Anglican Prayer Book, the Book of Common Prayer. There's readings in there to read a psalm or more each morning and each evening. And there's other opportunities to draw close to God through the Bible wisdom and the wisdom through the ages that is here. That's one example of how you can draw near to God. Sixthly, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. For he who promised is faithful, Hebrews 10:23. Are you a person of hope? Never stop hoping that the Lord can help you and change you, that he can change others. When you lose hope, you lose everything. So practice being a hopeful person because you know the character of God. Hebrews 6 verse 19 calls hope the anchor of the soul, so make it your anchor this year. Telling yourself what is true. As soon as you lose hope, you get depressed. Number 7, let us consider how we may spur one another on to love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. This year, make yourself responsible for prioritising the gathering of the church. Now, obviously, ministers, vicars love this verse because they want people to come to church. But put that to the side for a moment. When you aren't gathering with the church on a Sunday, and when it becomes a habit to stay away, Hebrews says you're placing yourself in great danger. When we go online because of lockdowns, that is like the life support machine. Now, everyone appreciates a life support machine and is grateful for it when they have to have it. But nobody chooses to stay on it when they have the opportunity to pursue life. So make sure that you're not just online when you could be with us in person. You know, I've needed the love and accountability and friendship of the church family when I've been struggling. When I was off work a few years ago with depression and anxiety, I made myself come to church, even though I didn't want to on occasion, because I knew it was vital for me. 8, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Hebrews 12 verse 1. Make this the year that you decide to fight that sin, that thing that's been holding you back, not to put it off any longer. Number 9, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. We've got to keep our eyes on the finish line and keep running. Hebrews 12 verse 1. Number 10, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. That's Hebrews 12 verse 28. When you feel down or discouraged, what I want to encourage you to do is make a list of everything you can thank God for. I've discovered that most of the older Christians in our church family who have kept going are very thankful people. Being thankful is more important than singing worship songs, although it's good to do that as well. It's your acceptable worship to God. When you're thankful to him, you are worshipping him. And you know what? It's good for you as well. Here's the great secret. It is actually brilliant for you and your soul. And it is toxic for you and your soul when you are not thankful, when you allow yourself to give way to cynicism, or taking things for granted, moaning and complaining. We're all tempted to do that. I need to hear point number 10 from Hebrews 12:28. Let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. Number 11, these have been quick fire, haven't they? Because Jesus suffered outside the city when he died on the cross, it says, let us then go to him outside the camp, bearing the disgrace he bore. Identify with Jesus in public this year. Be prepared for people to look down on you and laugh at you for keeping faith in him. Outside of the city was the place that they crucified people in the Roman world. Inside the city was the place of respectability and prestige and approval from the world. Jesus, however, was crucified outside the city. So we need to be those who bear the same disgrace this year because of the choices we make for him. The question we have is, would we rather have comfort and prestige inside of the city, or would we rather stand with our Saviour, with him, and suffer for him, as it were, outside of the city? Whatever that thing is that people may not understand, why you do it to honour Jesus, do it. Decide now to bear the disgrace that he bore. If it's something that Jesus commands, then be prepared to suffer for it. So let me end by returning to this idea of the silent war. What I'm encouraging us to see is that we are soldiers in active service if we're believers. So sit down and identify for your own heart that you are in a battle and decide what you're going to do about it to make sure that you are not one of the fatalities. We must pay careful attention so that we do not drift. Now, the good news is that God has given you everything that you need to win this war. in the name of Jesus. Let's just round up some of the things he's given us. He has given you the encouragement of his word that we've been looking at this morning to keep going. You don't have to fall short of his rest. He welcomes his children in. He's given you the Son and the Spirit so that you do not fight in your own strength. God gives grace so that we can be victorious. It doesn't mean that we won't get hurt, but it does mean that we can be reassured that we're on the winning side. Jesus will never lose anyone out of his hand who comes to him and remains in him. He's given you the gift of prayer so that you can pour out your heart to him and he hears and answers. Even in the run-up to preparing this message, there were times when I felt really tested this week. Like, this was the message that the devil didn't want me to preach this Sunday, to talk about this, because he loves to go on anonymously. And yet I've just had to pray and to pour out my heart to God. What else has he given you? He's given you the church. An imperfect, but beautiful band of brothers and sisters, so that you can spur one another on, so that you can have a place where you are accepted and loved and a place to grow. But you have to be there and you have to remain there to experience that fully. Yes, there's the life support when that isn't possible, and it's wonderful that God gives us that. But when we can gather with believers, we must do that. And the good news is, although we've rejoiced in and dwelt upon and used this military metaphor of being in a war, we're not just soldiers. We have been adopted through faith in Jesus as God's very own sons and daughters. And that is precious. So let me end with the words of the benediction at the end of the letter to the Hebrews. I don't think there's any better place to end. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen.